We the bestest cast with the left twist. Fat, barely well dressed. Put me on the guest list. The guest list. On the guest list.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of On the Guest List with Foxtrot and the Get Down, White Sox Dave, Kenny Carkeet, and Dante. We have a special episode this week. We are skipping out on the guests this week. We are strictly here for our return to live music recap episode. There's been so much going on amongst the podcast. Dave was doing the entire Barstool gambling thing this weekend in Chicago, which looked absolutely fucking insane. Kenny's been surfing his ass off. I played my first show in 18 months, which we're going to get into. We also have another family member here, someone who was with us really since the beginning of the podcast, Mr. Rob Ficarra. Give it up for Rob real quick. Our roadie boy.
He's been living in the shadows.
Yeah, Rob's in his car smoking weed and just hanging out. By the way, Rob is a new father. We haven't talked to him since he had his baby. Rob, what's up, buddy? Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Little guy was 4 months old yesterday. It's pretty fucking awesome.
How's that going for you?
I mean, it's great. He eats, he sleeps, he cries a lot, but it's honestly one of the fucking coolest things I've ever done.
Hell yeah,
it's cool. Would you do it again?
Nah, let's pump the brakes on that one there.
Would you recommend me and Colin do it?
Eventually. You got to find somebody first there, bud.
I mean, I find someone new every night. And then
Dave, you do know how this works, right?
Yeah, I think what Dave was asking is, should me and Dave do it together? Should we adopt?
I mean, yeah. Has Dave had sex yet? I know this whole thing was trying to get Dave laid.
I don't know, Dave. Did you?
No, I'm still a virgin.
Wait, did you hear that online today? Somebody, it was in the New York Post. They made a petition that they wanted people to stop using the word virgin.
I did hear that.
And they want it to be changed to sexual debut.
Yeah.
Shut up. I kind of like it.
I like that way better.
I kind of like it.
What is it? As if you were a minor league sex haver who just came up to the majors and you're making your sexual debut.
Did you read the girl's reasoning?
No.
It'd be a great R&B for hours song about this psychopath, but I hate clicked on it. And her entire thing was like, that is very near and dear to us as women. Like, you're not taking my virginity from me. I'm giving it to you. And it was like, it was a whole like possessive thing. It's like, dude, it's just a fucking word. Shut up.
Dude, there'd be a really good R&B song called fucking Sexual Debut.
Sexual Debut.
Dude, it sounds like a 1994 R&B record album.
Kelly's done, man.
Dude, my God. That's my off the list today. I was just going to say, I'll get into that. But let's get into the emotional side of things, because I promised people emotion. I do have a small interview that I did with Foxtrot, the rest of my band, after we got off stage at BB&T Pavilion in New Jersey, which is really fucking cool, actually. Erica, our wonderful singer, was a pussy and cried after the set, so we're going to get into that. I cried the day before, but we're not going to get into that. But we brought Rob here because Rob has been back out on the road now, so we're going to get into Rob's experience as a back-of-the-house guy, my experience as a front-of-the-house guy, Kenny's experience seeing his first show since quarantine. And Dave, have you seen any shows yet?
Yeah, I saw...
Oh, you went to Riot Fest.
I went to Riot Fest, and we talked about it a little bit last week, and then I saw Guns N' Roses a couple days before that. So,
oh, yeah.
First two shows that I had seen in 18 months or whatever, 19, 20 months.
Well, there's so much to talk about, bro. And first of all, I just want to say, for all the bands out there who are getting back out on the road, are getting back to doing what they're doing, I just got to experience it. It was fucking magical. It was awesome. It was everything I would hope it would be. Just to kind of recap the day, just to get this out of the way too, Dave did not make up excuses for not coming. Dave had a legitimate reason for not being at this show. Dave had a legitimate reason to not be there.
And correct, for David? Everything that happened, like once the weekend ended, I said this to Dante. I'm like, if I would have actually missed that, like I would have been dead.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. It seems like it was very fucking serious.
It was very serious. I mean, Dave Portnoy, he had an eagle eye, a hawk eye on me the entire weekend. I only did a couple dumb things, but not too many to really piss him off. But yeah, it was shitty timing. So,
bro, and that's where it went to. We do have a show to back it up. We do have a backup plan here, and it's going to be fucking awesome for December. We'll announce that as soon as that whole lineup gets announced and everything like that. But it will be happening. Dave is still becoming a rock star. But can we just, before we get into the sappy shit, talk about fucking, I saw the tweet that Portnoy put out that just said, hey, who do you, if you had to put your money on it, who showed up late this morning because they wanted to go to breakfast and then asked me to take a picture with their high school baseball coach? And
see, there's always so much nuance involved behind everything. Everything.
Yo, my point here is the first response I see is a screen grab of Dave staring off into oblivion wearing a Foxtrot t-shirt. And I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, wow, what a way to get into this fray. But
where was I didn't see that one. What was I doing?
Oh, you were just staring into oblivion. It looked like you were the most hungover human being alive. I'll send it to you when we're done this. It's fucking hilarious. I'll
take a look, yeah.
Oh, my God. But all right, let's get into this because I want to get Rob's experience, my experience. I went over this on Adobe Radio, but I get to the venue at like 9:30 in the morning. I was up at like 7, ate breakfast, was ready to run through a fucking brick wall, get there. And I forgot how fucking stressful the day of a show is because, Rob, you can agree with this. Back of the house people are the same as they were before. Back of the house people, the roadies and shit did not give a flying fuck. There was
local crew, baby.
They were just
They gave less fucks than before, actually.
Bro, I walked up and I was hugging people, and the first thing that happens, Kenny was like, yeah, we call him Nighthawk. Like, you're looking
Warhawk. You're looking fucking Warhawk. Watch out, bro.
These back of the house dudes come up and like, where's your shit? You got the cart? Load in. Let's go. And I was like, all right, well, we're back to fucking exactly where we were before.
Fucking with those guys.
But we load in and it's Wolfgang Van Halen shit, Jane's Addiction shit, Offspring shit. All the semis are loaded to the fucking back. And I get to walk through the fucking curtain into the big amphitheater and my fucking blood ran cold. I was so fucking excited. I had no nerves whatsoever going on that stage. I was so fucking excited. We went on there. Place was probably about half full, and it was just fucking electric. I can't say it enough. I cannot believe that it had been so fucking long, but my band killed it. There's just nothing that matches it. I'm so happy. We've been building this up for months that it was going to be the first show back, and I can't. The pictures are fucking gnarly. We have a nice YouTube thing coming out at the end of the week that's going to be fucking sick. But shout out to 93.3 WMMR. They let me come on air. I talked shit on Machine Gun Kelly for like 5 minutes. It was great. I had an amazing day. Dave, wish you could have been there, but we did have an imposter White Sox, Dave, which you'll be seeing in the video on Friday. Our guitar tech, Keith, looks nothing like you, but we were thinking about shoving a hat on and just rolling him out on stage, and he's fucking ripped. So it would have been hilarious. But Rob, let's get your experience. You've been back out on the road now. What's it been like?
I've had a couple of different shows. I've had a few fly dates, and I was on a tour for about 2 weeks. It was fun. It was definitely strange at first. Feels normal to a certain extent, but then walking back into it with some COVID protocols and all that other fun stuff too, definitely had a eerie vibe over it.
Oh, yeah.
But overall, it was great. The first couple shows I did were X, LA punk band X. Just a couple sold out, 10,000 plus bangers. It was definitely interesting to mix front of house for the first time again and open those faders up and just hope everything came out properly.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a good time, man. It was definitely fucking fantastic to get back to work. That's for damn sure.
Goddamn right. That's the biggest thing. Like, I think I said in that video, I was like, I've been sitting on my ass for 18 months waiting for this shit, and it felt great. But you brought up a really good point, though. Seeing all the masks backstage, like, there was so much time where we're walking through the back with a beer in our hand, and somebody's like, yo, put a mask on. And I'm like, fuck, I forgot. Yep. But I got good.
I had to go out. I got tested every day. I was out with Pacific Dub on the Revolution tour. And just to keep a tight ship, I mean, you have to at this point. Because you can't fuck around with that. You're talking about losing tens of thousands of dollars if one of those amphitheater shows gets canceled. That's so much money. And
which, like, will somersault into other shows getting canceled too and fucking everybody else over.
One fucking tour brings something in and gets the house crew canceled. You're looking at a week of shows for some of these amphitheaters. That could be a fucking $1 million.
Bro,
that's a lot of money. And we
walked in the same time as A-Ron Jones and Dirty Honey and a couple of these other bands. And we're all sitting there swabbing our noses, and we're sitting there like, dude, if one of us is positive, we're all fucked. Like, you guys just flew in from a tour with the Black Crowes. You just came in from Seattle. Like, what are we going to do? And not to mention, there's 20,000 people here today. Like, it really is eerie.
No, that was the weirdest thing. Like, I got to Arizona for day one of tour, and I'm sitting in the back alley of the venue swabbing my nose going, I might not even get to go in right now. I just flew across the country. And I literally might not even get to go in. And it's just a weird fucking feeling. But it happened. It was fucking great to get back to work. Honestly, can't wait to go back.
Says the man with the 4-month-old baby. He's like, God, I can't wait to get back out on the fucking road.
So what's on the horizon for both of you guys? So what's up next? You've been knocking out your first few shows. What do we got coming up?
I got October 23rd at the Greek Theater in LA with X. They're doing the 40th anniversary of their Los Angeles record in the entirety of the first time ever.
Nice.
We're going to do that one. And then I'm a 3-week run with X again in December up and down the West Coast. So
beautiful.
Nothing too crazy. Just a couple things here and there.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is for us, like, we have 2 or 3 things that are on hold, but I'm getting told by management for both things that we need to see how this plays out, because Sturgill Simpson just canceled his whole tour. Strand of Oaks just canceled their whole tour. Like, things are getting canceled, especially like for the winter and the inside club shows, not the outside shit. So there's a few things, including someone that's a member of the podcast, that you never know. But I mean, December 3rd, Chicago Wish Fest, which of course we'll get into later on down the road. We're getting flown out for that. That's going to be fun. That's a charity thing. We'll get into that later. But I mean, other than that, everything's a wait and see game still. I mean, I don't know if Kenny ever wants to play a live show again, but Kenny, you know, if he wanted to, it's a wait and see game.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because it feels like it's quote unquote getting better out there, but then also I'm seeing tours getting canceled. So like, I don't know. I have no answer.
Makes no sense feelings. To me.
Yeah. Why? I don't know what's happening. But I will say that my return, you know, I went to go see St. Vincent at the Hollywood Bowl last Saturday. And it was my first show since the last show I played, which is also kind of crazy. It fucking felt good. It felt real good to be. It was outdoors, as the bowl is, and it was super safe. And, you know, I would prefer to see her in a 1,000-cap room shredding the walls in, right? But, like, just to, like, feel the kick in the bass and the people and the sing-alongs and the dramatics and the theater performances and the lights go down and the lights come up and the strobes are going. Like, you know, I told you yesterday, Colin, that when something is really good, my first instinct is to start laughing. And I was laughing the entire show because I was absolutely floored by this chick's performance. She's so fucking
and
good.
And my first reaction is always to get mad. When I see something that's really good, I'm just like, fuck you. Get the fuck out of here.
That's how I am too. If I see like a hot dude walking down the street, I'm like, okay.
My wife's like, why do you keep laughing? I'm like, because this is unbelievable.
Dude,
I'm
such an idiot. We talked about this already, but my first show is actually the Windy City Smokeout, which is big country music festival. It's went from, you know, a few thousand people to like 100,000 people overnight, seemingly. But when Dante, who's not here today, but he was playing in between, I forget who it was, and then the headliner, whoever that was, but he was on for like the second or third day of the festival, and we had sick fucking, basically like on the stage, VIP access, all you can eat and drink, everything was free. When he got done, it was Brett Eldridge. That's who we were watching. We were watching Brett Eldridge. He's like, yo, come with me. So I followed him, and he stopped right in the middle of all these people. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? There's people here.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
He's like, I had to soak it in, man. I'm like, what the fuck? We had all this free shit, like, right on top of the stage, you asshole. And he's like, I got to be out here.
And bro, I miss catering so much, Kenny. I got 3 square meals. It was fucking delicious. It was great. I fucking
live at catering, man.
Bro, I chugged chocolate milk just because it was there. There was chocolate milk at catering, and I just fucking slugged it.
By the time you go on stage.
Bro, there's so many things from that day that, like, I've been editing footage for the past, like, 24 hours. And just things like sound check. Getting to watch back the footage of sound check. Like my drummer Jimmy beating the shit out of his rack tom just to get the right tone out of it. Or like Erica singing into an empty arena. Like, that gives me goosebumps. I just watched it back and smiled. Like, I was like, what the fuck? And I was telling Kenny yesterday, even something as nerdy as like our tech rider had our logo behind us on a big fucking giant screen behind us. And I was like, dude, I fucking love this shit. I really do. We've had so many like, what's the word I'm looking for? Hypothetical conversations about what it was going to be like to get back out on stage. And I'm getting the same reaction from a lot of musicians. I'm also getting some negative reaction from a lot of musicians. And the fact that it is still a thing where like, if you're playing clubs, people still aren't coming out the way they used to come out because there is hoops to jump through to get to the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it's the smaller echelon bands that are still playing 150 to 200 cap rooms. And it's like somebody might have go out to go see Guns N' Roses, but they might not go out to see fucking, you know, little Johnny over here who's coming through with his band on a 6-band bill at fucking Milk Boy upstairs. Like,
right.
It's still getting back. And Rob, I know you've been touring with some bigger bands. What were the Revolution shows like?
I mean, they were ragers. They were fucking sold out ragers. Almost every amphitheater show I've done since this started has been sold out. I haven't done an inside show yet, though. I'm definitely intrigued to see what those are going to be like. It's definitely going to be weird.
And those are the shows that are getting canceled. Those are the shows that are getting canceled are the inside during the winter shows. And I mean, none of us know this, but I mean, this is the getting back to live music special, but like, I don't know whether or not the winter is really going to happen as far as shows. Like maybe like some arenas where they can like cap it out and spread people. But other than that, it's still not fully
it's too
fucking
back expensive yet. To rent a fucking arena.
Dude,
it's a weird situation, man.
Dude, find a fucking field and put on another Woodstock. That's why like fucking, is this still Dave a Chappelle thing?
I don't know.
Dave Chappelle was renting out cornfields in Ohio and putting on big shows.
And that works for the fall and maybe the summer, but like the winter. When it's Chicago in the winter and it's fucking December and you're everybody's got to come to LA. Everybody's got to come to LA. That's Kenny's suggestion for fucking everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we're seeing Live Nation and AEG doing the shit with the vaccines and everybody doing it. That's just the loophole they're going to do, regardless of what it means and what it does. They're saying, hey, we're not fucking closing. You show us this shit. We're going to do a show because we can't fucking afford to lose any money anymore.
No,
yeah, I saw whether or not it's the right thing to do or not, it's fucking happening, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Regardless of whether it's right or wrong, I just saw that the Roxy, starting October 1st, is going to be vaccinated only. Not even testing matters, like only vax. So it's like it's just getting more stringent.
I mean, right now they're doing like you have to show proof. What is it, 48 hours?
Yeah,
of a negative test. It's like... That just defeats the purpose of the whole thing.
I do understand people like I'm not here to get into a fucking political conversation about vaccines and bullshit like that. No. That's not what I'm here for. But what I am here to say is that, I mean, if that's what their prerogative is, so that they're not liable, yo, it's a fucking business. If they say that's what you got to do.
Sure.
If you don't want to get it, then you might miss out on some things, but also it's your prerogative. Like, that's okay. Like, this is all about choice in one way or another. To bring the joy back, at least we're getting the opportunity to some semblance of normalcy to be like, oh my God, this is really what I was put on the earth to do. And that was my feeling going on the stage before. Usually I'll have some butterflies. I'll have some like fucking nervous energy and shit like that. I literally didn't give a flying fuck about anything other than walking out on stage, and we fucking smashed. And I was so happy. Oh, I will say though, my other guitar player, Eric, told me he almost pooped his pants. He was so nervous. So like, it's not for all people, but
I've been there.
I mean, dude, by the way, just shouts out to the other bands that day, dude. It was.
Now, Colin, so after you guys got done, did you like go watch Chains of Addiction as a fan or like, you know, go and take it in from that perspective, too?
We did a podcast right after from the green room. So I missed a little bit of Aaron Jones, but I stood side stage for it and he fucking ripped. I was a fan for Cheap Trick. I got to see Cheap Trick, which, by the way, these guys are old as fuck.
Oh, yeah, they're old. They're so old.
But they sang in the same keys they did in the 70s, and they blew my fucking mind. They were awesome. They were so fucking sick, dude. And, Dave, this is actually a wild-ass story. This involves you in a way. The way that we first got introduced to each other was a guy named Rob Hirsch, tweeted at you. You tweeted, someone show me some new music or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Rob Hirsch, who's a baseball fan, tweeted at you and said, you need to check out Foxtrot and the Get Down. They're the best band in Philadelphia. And I followed up and you messaged back like, oh, got to check them out. And I DM'd you and was like, yo, come on the podcast. Who was fucking front row at this show? Was there a fucking sound check at the gate? Rob Hirsch. And I went out after the set and I grabbed him by the neck and I was like, I owe you a lot. I was like, because this podcast wouldn't exist, because he listens to every episode too. I was like, it wouldn't exist without you, motherfucker.
Man, now I gotta go back and find this, because I don't really remember that interaction at all. But
he is the
all coming full circle. That's like fate, Like, yeah, I love that.
It's really cool. I love those kind of stories. And I just hugged him and I was like, dude, we owe you a lot. Like, everybody involved in this podcast owes you a lot. And he was like, dude, no, you don't. I just tweeted at somebody. And I was like, no, be fucking, take some credit, dude. I was like,
there's definitely credit that's owed for sure.
There is. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. And I mean, just out of everything, I'm just fucking excited for the future. I'm excited for all the content that comes with shows. I'm excited to be back out on stage. I'm happy Rob gets to do what Rob does.
Mm-hmm.
Because people forget that the fucking back of the house guys have been sitting around jerking off for the past year too. So Rob, shouts out to you. Obviously Rob wasn't jerking off because he's got a kid. So shouts out to Rob.
<Don't be surprised. laughs>
And then Kenny, why don't you recap a little bit about your show that you went to this week?
Dude, so I saw St. Vincent at the Bowl on Saturday. I've seen her a couple times, played a couple festivals with her. She always blows my mind. She's a ripping guitar player. And she always does these kind of like themes. Like the last time I saw her, it was like robot, lesbian, witch, devil theme. That was fucking awesome and super rad. And now she's doing this like 70s, kind of like super sexy, cigarette smoking, fucking Philly jazz dopeness. She was wearing a like $5,000 Gucci velvet jumpsuit with like scarves and 900 gold chains.
That's
and,
exactly what I was wearing on Saturday.
Yeah, that's literally what I'm saying,
exactly,
you know what I mean?
The same
yeah.
thing.
Bro, and you can't pull that off.
Yeah, you
could. Dude, I mean, when I got there, she was doing a slow song by herself and it was one of the most beautiful things I ever heard. And then the next song, she was playing one note with halftime drums and strobe lights. Like, it's just unbelievable. And it felt so good to be back at shows. And like, my buddy does sound for her. And so I got to kick it with him and get to see him do what he does, you know, back on the road finally, and like all their crew and then the security guards who aren't doing anything. And like, it was just good to be back and be like, oh, yeah, I know you fucks.
Yeah, dude, it's just back in the mix, dude. And that's the biggest thing. End of the day, it's a sense of like, okay, this still exists. And that makes me very happy because we really didn't know whether it would. And it does.
There was seriously that doubt for not just a minute, but like a lot of time. There was that doubt. And
it still exists.
It still exists, but that doubt should be tempered a little bit.
I mean, Rob, you had opportunities that got pulled, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, I had a couple opportunities. I'm honestly, not to shoot down the excitement, I'm still having stuff get canceled.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just is what it is.
Yeah,
I still don't know what I'm going to do for a living, so.
And that is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's like I always use this word, but it's flirtations with reality. It's flirtations with doing what you want to do, but it's not all the way back yet. But fucking God bless all the bands out there.
We're definitely flirting with the past. Like, there's glimpses of hope, there's glimpses of feeling like we did, and then there's some of it that's just like, I don't know about this.
Fuck, man. I mean, that we cap it off in a pretty negative way, but the rest of it was super positive. But I'm happy to have Rob here. I'm happy shows are back. Let's go into some segments real quick, dude. Let's go into some on-list, off-list. Before we fucking do that, I need to talk about one piece of music news. This caps off Dave going to Riot Fest last week and Machine Gun Kelly talking all that shit. Machine Gun Kelly got booed off the stage in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah. Louder than life.
Yes, dude. Louder than life.
Everybody middle fingers up was like, boo. The video is amazing because it was like, music, loud, stop. Boo.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, dude. He was so fucking bad.
Yeah, of course he is. He's
so
horrible.
Bad.
But I think he's like, is he the Jake Paul of music? Is he doing it on purpose? Does he want people to hate him because good press or any press?
I don't know
press?
That he is because he doesn't seem like he has the thickest of skin.
Yeah, like, he seems like Paul's genuinely stupid.
Like the Paul brothers are impervious to any sort of criticism at all because they know exactly what they're doing. They're like born and bred internet trolls, basically, that are making a bazillion dollars off of it, which I love for them. But, like, you can't make fun of them because that's what they want. Like, the more you fucking hate them, the more. But, Machine Gun Kelly's not that, I don't think. I could be wrong.
I think he's a little bitch made, to be completely honest. And I'll say this, too. He fucked up because Corey Taylor is the one person you don't want to fuck with. And also, I don't think he realizes the fans that he's fucking with because, like, diehard, like, hard rock metal fans, there's no like leeway there. It's either you're in or you're out. And if you're out, they hate you.
Well,
like,
if you fail at hip hop and then you try to come over to rock playing pink guitars, wearing pink overalls, and you go, boo, fuck one of the greatest fucking metal bands in the history. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, in the rock community, bro, you showed up to the wrong party, man.
You showed up to the wrong party, dog. Fucked you showed up to a Juggalo party with no Faygo, dog. Yeah, you're fucking up, idiot.
No Faygo.
So fuck that guy. That's all I really wanted to do for music news, because there was some music that dropped this past week. Nothing too crazy. But this is more about live music. I thought that was the live music news of the week. Also, Firefly Music Festival just happened, and apparently Tame Impala just put on one of the greatest fucking shows of all time.
Of course they did. Of course they did.
Kevin Parker's a monster. But
I have a bunch of friends who played Firefly this weekend. It just looks super fun.
Awesome. Yeah, we got Dez Rocks was there, put on a great show. He'll be on the podcast in the next week or two. A lot of great artists went through there. But shout out to Firefly. Shout out to all the festivals that happened this weekend, and fuck Machine Gun Kelly. Yep. Let's go into on the list, off the list. I'll start, then Dave, then Kenny, then Rob. My on the list, go with Christ, dog. It's fucking Dog the Bounty Hunter is on my list.
Let's go.
All right, Dave, did you not see this?
I don't think I did. What happened?
So you know the story about Gabby Petito, the girl who was murdered by that dude, Brian Laundrie. There were pictures that came out yesterday of Dog the Bounty Hunter knocking on Brian Laundrie's family's house.
So he's on the case.
He's on the case, ladies and gentlemen. Dog the Bounty Hunter has to offer. Dude, fucking Dog the Bounty Hunter.
There we go. I love it.
Imagine the fear. That family is going through so much right now. The Laundrie's like, their son is a murderer, and their fucking future daughter-in-law is dead. And they're just in there like, what do we do? What do we do? And they just hear, knock, knock, knock. And it's fucking Dog the Bounty Hunter at the door. Everybody should just like hide in the basement like there's fucking aliens outside. I don't know. That's where I am. So fucking shouts out Dog the Bounty Hunter on my list. Dave, on your list.
On my list is, I'm a complete and total idiot. I wrote two that would technically be off the list. Can you come back to me?
Yes. You mean Kenny.
I got two off the list.
Kenny, who's on your list?
Man, we already kind of blew mine up out of the water, but it was going to be St. Vincent. I'm blown a fucking way by her, her band, her outfits, the songs, her voice, the fucking records, like. It's just so good. She's big time on my list for life.
Future movie star, by the way, has a movie coming out. Yeah. She's a fucking, it's Annie, right? Annie Clark.
And like, I mean, you couldn't have a cuter name to begin with. And like, you could tell.
I love that name.
Theater is part of her thing.
It's like my favorite name ever.
Her whole show is so theater based. Like there's acts and scenes and it's fucking unbelievable. Highly recommend people see it.
Said it last night, dude. She could take over the world if she so chose. Rob, who's on your list?
On my list is The Season Fall. I am finally not a sweaty piece of shit anymore. And I am so happy to not be a sweaty piece of shit anymore.
I think you were off my list like 2 weeks ago then.
You know what? That's fine, Dave. I don't really give a fuck.
Because people who bitch about summer, like, oh, it's too hot. Fuck out of here. Because right around the winter.
I love summer. And actually, I'll just say my off the list is winter because I fucking hate what's coming next. But I am so happy to not be a sweaty piece of shit like I am from May to mid-August.
But you live in Maine. How hot does it get there? You live in Maine.
I live in
right?
fucking Buffalo, A, hey, you piece
or
of
Buffalo.
Shit.
Why do I think Maine? Maine?
Don't ever mistake that.
I mean, and how B, hot can Buffalo
it's hot, it's just as hot as it gets in Chicago.
I don't bitch about being hot and sticky. I embrace that.
Well, that's disgusting.
That's fine. I am disgusting.
Look, I'm cool with sweat anywhere from like here to here, but like ball and ass sweat is a different level, and I know exactly what Rob's talking about.
Bro, listen, I grew up in Florida, and now I've lived in LA for 15 years. Wet hot, dry hot, they both suck. Both of them equally
fuck
awful.
All of you,
and you get ball sweat in each one.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
dude, major fucking facts. Baby powder that shit, and you're good to go.
Talcum it.
Might burn a little bit. That's fine. I'm sure that's nothing. Sorry. All three of them are going to a little bit.
You're not going to win that one there, bud.
Yeah. Dave's like, burn your dick, dude. It's not that big of a deal. Dave, who's on your list?
On my list is, I just had it in my fucking head. On my list, we're going to go with Italian food today. We're going with Italian food paired with. I got super fucking, this was Thursday night of last week. I came home. I knew we were about to just have a fucking crazy packed weekend. I popped a bunch of edible gummies and I ordered up this awesome Italian joint that's in a strip mall, believe it or not.
Always the best.
Fantastic. And I watch a bunch of YouTube videos of like lions eating gazelles and shit in Africa. And that took up my whole Thursday night.
What's your Italian dish of choice? I have to ask.
I go, so I get rigatoni bresaola, I think is how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
And it is out of this world good. The whole place is about as big as my apartment. It's got like six tables in there. And it's next to like a fucking a Walmart or something. You'd never think it was like any good at all, but it is fire.
Let me test your mettle here. Are you an eggplant guy?
I love eggplant, yes.
All right, you're good with me then. That's cool.
Eggplant. Yes. What's yours, Colin? What's your Italian dish of choice?
I'm a spoiled brat when it comes to Italian food. Grew up at my grandmother's house off the boat from Italy. Made our own ravioli every holiday. That's
unreal good.
Oh, it's just unfucking believable. Yep. Recipes to my grandmother, Gloria Maria Lucia Duraca. That's my girl. My mom still carries the tradition. So I'm fucking eggplant rollatini. I love anything where ricotta cheese and eggplant involved.
Dude, I can eat ricotta cheese like soup. It is the best fucking thing on earth.
It's the best thing because it can either be a dessert or a part of a meal. It's delicious. Shout out cannolis. Let's fucking go. Dave, I love you're on the list. You're the fucking man. To really take a left turn here, my off the list, R. Kelly, you're fucking done, son.
Yeah, it's bye.
Over for your bitches.
Hold on. Did we decide if we're allowed to listen to like his music or not?
I mean, if Ignition comes on, I'm not going to turn it off.
He's done for life, man. He got 100 years, right?
He's going to get 100 years. This is his first set of charges and he's already facing.
Oh yeah. He's going to prison for the rest of his life.
Dog.
Dante, I wish he was here because Dante would run into him like just so there's it's not or it's kind of under construction right now, but right where Dante lives is the Rock and Roll McDonald's. If you guys have ever seen it in Chicago, it's like a 3-story McDonald's right in the heart of the city. And I've never actually been inside it. I've obviously driven past it a million times, but Dante would just like run into him at 2 a.m. like ordering chicken nuggets. They'd be like, oh, look, there's R. Kelly again.
Dog, just for the fact that it's chicken nuggets for R. Kelly and all his age issues seems a little fucked up.
He's done.
You mess with kids, you fucking kidnap women, you're done, son. I do wonder whether or not his attorney at any point just gave up and finally went up to the judge and was like, dude, he made Ignition Remix. Like, come on.
You sang that shit at a wedding.
I wish you could fly. Like, come on, dog. Knock a couple years off. But you're done, son. You're out. Kenny, who's off your list?
So to be fair and honest, I wrote this down yesterday.
Yeah.
Robert. off my list, people who love seasons. Get the fuck out of here. The fucking seasons. They're like, oh my God, it's fucking spring or it's fall. I'm going to go get some PSLs at Starbucks and wear my boots. Fuck you.
To be fair, Rob said he hated seasons. He never said he liked one. He just said he hated summer and winter.
True. I'm not getting all basic on you. I just like the fact that my balls aren't sweaty.
and I absolutely respect that. But you're probably not posting like a picture of a fucking pumpkin and a brown leaf being like, oh, thank heaven that fall is
those
here.
Like,
are you
sure.
Fucking, get the fuck out of here. Fuck you. Nobody cares. No. Fuck you.
Oh yeah. My God. How many fucking spooky season memes? By the way, we don't say Michael Myers on this podcast anymore. Long story. That's, we'll get to it someday.
That is my number one on my guest list. Just the horror or off my guest list is the horror movie genre out of spite.
We'll explain this later on down the line because we don't know whether or not this is going to happen or not. But
for the record, I've only seen like bits and pieces of Halloween. And obviously it's such a famous and like culturally significant movie that I know exactly how it goes. But I haven't seen it like start to finish. I'll never watch that movie.
I have a hot take.
Fucking never watch that movie.
Is young Jamie Lee Curtis hot?
Oh, dude, are you fucking kidding me? She's such a bitch. True Lies? Such a bitch.
I'm making sure we're on the same page here.
She did that little striptease? Like, that might have been the first time.
Dude, is the fucking Pope a pedophile? Yeah. Like, come on, man.
I'm making sure we're on the fucking same page here. I didn't want to be like, by the way, Jamie Lee Curtis, babe. Fuck yes, I agree. I'm just making sure we're on the same page here.
That's a great movie, actually.
That is a great movie. That is a great movie.
But
Rob,
fuck yeah, she's hot.
Rob, who's off your list?
I already shared it. It's winter fact that I'm happy that fall's here. I'm fucking super pissed that I'm going to have to snowmobile like 4 days or not snowmobile, snowplow like 4 days a week living in
This is Buffalo winter. Yeah, this is a different
winter.
Dude, people shit on Chicago winter. I've never been to Buffalo. I feel like you guys have the worst winter. Because we're west of the lake. You guys are east of the lake, and like the weather goes west to east.
Yeah.
I hate winter and I hate Buffalo. Fuck, man, that's got to be awful.
That's fine. I married a wonderful woman from Buffalo, and she dragged me from Hawaii to Buffalo.
To be fair, you know what it's like. I've only ever been to Buffalo next to the venue and haven't left more than one block in either direction. So.
Dude.
Yeah, what, you just stay at Town Ballroom the whole time?
Yeah, basically, you know what I mean? And they have that, their green room is the apartment across the street, and it's all shitty. It's awesome.
Dog.
That's literally my buddy's apartment.
See, you know what I'm talking about, man. We're the same.
I do. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Smoked a lot of weed in that apartment.
Hawaii to Buffalo is a fucking weird move. Holy shit. It's like,
that is more opposite.
Cheap as fuck. Go studio apartment to a 4-bedroom, 2,000 square foot house. It'll change you.
There you go. Yeah. Shouts out to the kind of Northeast. I appreciate that. Dave, who's off your list?
Chapped lips and horror movies. I just added chapped lips like literally seconds ago because my
horror
lips
movies
are so
give you chapped lips.
Well, no, I already said horror movies were off my list. But my lips are chapped as fuck. I went grocery shopping before we hopped on here. I forgot to get chapstick. So my life is pretty much over.
Dude, my wife's like, you need to use chapstick. I'm like, you need to fucking give me chapstick. I don't fucking buy that shit.
Yeah, this is not my lip balm shit. It's my wife sitting here on the desk, but shit does slap. Can't lie. Dave, I have one more off the list, and it's you, all the Barstool Chicago guys, and everybody that was involved in the Sopranos podcast today. First off, I thought you did well. I'm not going to lie. I did listen to it today when I was walking around. I thought you did well. You guys all missed the best song that was ever in the Sopranos.
What song?
Waiting on a Call by Rolling Stones after Pussy Gets Killed.
Okay.
Waiting on a Call.
It was perfect. I know exactly what you're talking about. So everybody fucking thinks that we do like hours and mountains of research for that. Like we intentionally kind of don't do any because the banter makes the show.
Yep.
And people are like, how the fuck did you forget this or this? But like when you go into any given topic, you know, there's a handful of things you want to fucking pick. And that Sean Smith song, I've looked him up. He died like a year and a half ago. It was a drug overdose, I want to say. But he's like 39, like never had any hit. If you go and look him up on Spotify, I found a few songs, all less than 1,000 plays on Spotify. That was the only one that had like millions. And it was on the Soprano soundtrack, like their feed or whatever.
Yeah.
Never heard of the guy. Never heard that song other than that scene. But however, like the creators and the writers scored that scene and found that song, I thought it was absolutely fucking perfect.
I just finished the show
going
for the first
down the
time.
Road to California.
I saw that show the first five seasons like six times, and I finally finished the last season. It's just so fucking incredible. I like the ending. I don't give a shit what anybody says.
Never
I
seen
like
one
ending.
Episode.
Oh, shame on you guys.
Never seen a single one. And honestly, on tour, I've had the box set in my hand, and then I look at the episode list, and there's like 8 billion of them, and I'm like, I can't even fucking start this.
It's long, man.
But it's so worth it, dude. It's so good. Like, all right, Kenny, what's your favorite show of all time?
Oh, bro, you're going to try to put me on the spot with favorite show of all time?
Yeah, actually, we are.
Yeah, I have one that's not Sopranos.
Of all time? Fuck, of all time, I don't know. I don't know what
mine's Breaking Bad. I think Breaking Bad was the absolute perfect television show.
I like Breaking Bad. I don't know if it's the best one ever.
Yeah,
right,
Rob, what's sure ever for ever. You?
Dude, yeah, you can't do that to me right now. What the fuck?
I can Game do it Thrones. Right now. I mean,
love Thrones.
Thrones, but it's not the best.
The Boys.
Ever.
It could have been the best. Good.
The Boys is one of my faves.
Mad Men is the best show of all time, in my opinion. And I have an
argument.
Our
guy Chief swears to Christ it's the greatest TV show of all time.
The reason why I think Mad Men's better than Sopranos is because the stakes are 1,000 times lower in Mad Men. They're in an office all fucking day. Like, there's no murder. There's like no murder. There's nobody getting picked off here and there. There's no.
I love this shit.
But I'm saying the stakes are low and you feel the same amount of stress by watching that.
Okay. Okay.
I got you.
That stress of when you lose a character you fall in love with is like why I watch TV.
Yeah.
And that's why I love the fucking Sopranos. Cause I mean, if you haven't seen the show, sorry, you've had 20 years to watch it.
Yeah. I was going to say,
but when you lose a character you love in the Sopranos, you fucking feel it. I loved Adriana. I loved her. She was a great girl.
Recipe Girl. I'll never watch it.
Did you ever watch Sons of Anarchy?
Oh, but I heard my music was in it a lot.
Was AWO in it a lot?
Apparently, we had like a song and episode almost in there.
Cash and checks, dude. Sons of Anarchy was not the best show ever, but it's a guilty. It's like me and my brother loved it together, so I
wouldn't call that a guilty. I've never really heard anybody say that show sucks.
I just
have started The Wire no less than 5 or 6 times, and I can't get through the first season. It just fucking doesn't.
See, that's me with Mad Men. I figured out my favorite TV show of all time.
Good.
South Park.
South Park genius,
of all time. Genius of all time. Absolute the way they do 6 days show. To air and they're so current on all the jokes. Like,
yeah, but South Park. I separate the comedy from the drama. Like,
yeah,
you
know,
you didn't say that. You said of all time.
I was suggesting dramas. But
South Park, if we're just taking all encompassing, South Park would definitely be top 5 for me. For absolutely. Sure.
I would go see, but then I have my shitty picks like Entourage and The Office.
Bloodlines was real good too.
I heard
Bloodlines talking about was great. TV shows.
Yeah, where do we get in here? Sopranos. I don't know. Let's go through what the fuck we've been listening to. I'll start it out. A'Ron Jones. I got to perform right before him this past weekend. Seriously underrated fucking musician right now. He's on a lot of the big Spotify playlists. He's really just starting to hit his stride. Dude, absolutely destroyed over the weekend. Check out the song Mercy. He just did the performance for the 12th man for the Seattle Seahawks last weekend. He's a Seattle guy. Covered Dumb by Nirvana at the show. Fucking 4-piece band. Sounded like there was an army.
Great song. Dude,
monster. He played right after us and everybody in the crowd was like, dude, he was so much louder than you. And he's playing a fucking Strat through a combo amp. He's a monster. Shouts out A'Ron Jones. Come on the fucking podcast, dog. Really good time talking to you every weekend. Dave, what the fuck have you been listening to?
On that note, I was going through my head like, man, the Sopranos had a fucking incredible soundtrack. And I started listening to the Shy Lights.
Oh,
girl. Just an unbelievable song. That's the only song I knew of them, though. They're like, I mean, I haven't looked it up. I'm sure they're all dead because they were like, you know, they were from 60 years ago, from the 50s. But fuck, do they got good music, man.
Great use in the show, by the way, too.
Perfect use in the show. It's like, yeah, all the fucking girls in North Jersey, you had to fuck this one. And he just beating his ass with a belt.
Love it. Fucking great pick, dude.
Girl, I'd be in trouble if you left me now. It's such a, and then he's crying. What a fucking show. God damn it.
Yeah,
what
you two need show. To get on it, dude. Holy
you guys
shit.
Have to get on it, man. It's such a fucking
don't care. Show.
Kenny literally suck my fucking dick.
Don't care.
It's, I know it's like the cliche thing, but it's the best for a reason. It really is.
I haven't watched Game of Thrones either.
What?
Game of Thrones is a way, way easier watch because you can
write. I was just waiting to drop that one in.
But it's the same shit, Dave. Like you were saying, like losing of characters that you adore so much. Like Game of Thrones was fucking like great political murderous drama, with that shit.
But you can bust it out way faster than Sopranos. Sopranos, you gotta like set aside.
Well, yeah, fucking there's like 8 seasons with 6 episodes apiece in Thrones.
Last TV note, most disappointing show of all time, House of Cards, because the first 2 seasons of that show were fucking incredible.
Yep.
Then Kevin Spacey's a weirdo perv and ruined it. That show went downhill.
I love that he still does his Christmas videos every year, even though he's like full canceled.
Yeah,
he's great.
I stopped watching that show after 30 seconds, and I bet you guys can guess why. Literally 30 seconds in the first episode.
How could you?
The
Robin, first episode, Robin Wright is one of the hottest babes on earth.
Jenna. The beginning of this series is that he's just like freeze framed walking around that like political fundraiser. What was it?
He killed a dog in like the first minute.
Oh,
I was like,
that's right. He did.
Not for me. And he was like,
John Wick too, bro.
Yeah, but he also banged.
I've never seen John Wick.
He also banged Kate Mara and then killed her.
She's
a smoke.
She is a smoke.
For sure.
That's the redhead one, right?
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, she's a smoke.
Hotter than Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yes. Jamie Lee Curtis is like mom hot.
Yeah. Mom panties. Kenny,
what the fuck have you been listening to?
Yo, I've been listening to a remixing DJ duo group from Belgium called the what are they called? The Shimmers.
The Glimmers.
You're right. It's called the Glimmers. The song that got me. So I was in Mexico last weekend and these like hipster hotel places, they all have like little DJ setups there and they're playing music, you know, you never really heard before. And a lot of the shit was really dope. I must have Shazammed 100 fucking songs last weekend, which made me really excited. But the one I keep listening to is the fucking Glimmers. It's the Olivia Newton-John cover of Physical from 1981. these fucking guys. And then I went deep. And no, it's not like house like that at all. It's like polo and pan French electronic. It's dude, it's like Phoenix, like
little really Giuseppe Stein in there. Yeah, like dude, fucking like Arca.
It's rad. The Glimmers. Fucking check them out. Really, really cool shit. You listen to it and you're like, is this from 1979? Like, because it sounds old and dope. And then you're like, oh, this is like 2017. Oh, got it.
Hell yeah. Great pick, dude. Most random pick we've had in a while.
Yeah, that is it. I love going down. I did listen to Sleaford Mods, by the way.
Tell me you love them or do you not get them?
I was just about to say, I'm not smart enough to listen to that kind of music.
It's like the music
you can tell
is
they're
so
speaking
dumb.
English, but they're not at the same time.
It's a right. Fucking tarantula.
Dude, you want another one that's going to fuck you up, Dave? I want you to go look up the artist King Cruel. King
like
Cruel.
C-R-U-E-L?
K-R-U-E-L. Listen to him and then look at a picture of him. And just do it later. Like, I just wanted to recap this.
Every time
week.
I see a picture of Cody Taylor, like, after this whole beef. Is it? It's not. His name's not Cody. What the Corey. Fuck's his name? Corey Taylor. I always call him Cody Taylor. Every single time, without fail. I'm like, that guy can't be who he is. But so I get you. So wait, that was Glimmer and King Cruel.
The Glimmers. King I just Cruel, texted yeah. it to you, bro. You got to check them out.
Rob, wrap us up here with your what the fuck we've been listening to.
I've been diving back into deep punk rock and pop punk rabbit holes, if I'm being honest with you, and I've been listening to a lot of Strung Out lately.
Ooh. Oh, did you know that they're my favorite band of all time, number one?
That's pretty epic. Their drummer is one of my favorite of all time, and every
RJ?
Time I listen to him play
RJ
drums,
or Jordan?
I just get happy and blown up. Honestly, either of them, because they both just rip.
Yeah, I mean, so, you have to rip if you play in fucking yeah. Strung Out, dude.
Yeah, no, it's I fucking love that band, and I just, yeah. American Paradox was spun like twice today, and I just yes. fucking, yep.
I think American Paradox is my favorite Strung Out record, and Element of Sonic Defiance, those fucking guys, they're my faves. I, through my years in AWOL, I got to meet fucking crazy people and all this shit. Eventually, I got to meet Strung Out and play a little show with them, and it was the best, coolest thing I've ever done in my entire fucking career.
They were your favorite band prior to that?
They were like the band when I was 16, I would wait at midnight yeah. at the CD store to pick up the new record. Like they fuck were that yeah. for me. Yeah.
Was it so my was buddy, it had never meet your heroes type deal? They're sweet dudes.
Oh, they're the absolute sweetest dudes. They did like an acoustic set thing and I played keys for them and I made friends with the bass player, Chris Aiken. But they're the fastest met, fucking band on earth. They're
you amazing. Met Clay
yeah,
Aiken.
Yeah, bro. Clay Aiken, RIP, he's dead.
Dave, go listen to Strung Out, Dave, if you have not listened to Strung Out.
You'd yeah. like them. You'd like them, Dave.
I got it all yeah. written down, yeah.
They're like a 25-year veteran band. Like, they've been around for fucking ever. Yeah. They're awesome.
He's got to do fucking Strung Out and King Cruel tonight. He's going to be fucked up for Thursday's yeah. episode.
That's holy good, too.
That'd be great.
Well, this was our return to live music. We've gone through a lot today, a lot of emotion, a lot of talk, and a lot of thank you so much, fucking Rob, for coming through, jumping away from his four-month-old baby to sit in his car and talk to us about music. Fucking Rob, when are you going to come hang out with us, dude?
Yeah, Rob. I don't know. Rob's like one of the OGs to this show.
Yeah.
And he's hooked us up with a lot of guests. I was pissed I couldn't see Duddy B and Dirty Heads. I was there the next day or 2 days after.
I mean, I'll probably be in Philly and Chicago. Kenny, I'll be in LA in October. If you guys want to come to a show and come hang out, and come kick it.
Let's do it.
Hell yeah. To wrap up this week's episode, I am going to put the little interview I did with the rest of my band right after the set. You hear a lot of sweaty, tired, exhausted, happy fucks. And just
were you guys drinking? Were you guys?
We were drinking. They had Yingling and Bud Light in the green room. And dude, Kenny, you'll appreciate this. I think like the fucking Live Nation people in the back kept seeing me walk around with a beer in my hand. And I got a text from one of the radio people from MMR and was like, hey, by the way, just no drunken bullshit in the back today. And I was like, first off, who ratted? Second off, there wasn't enough beer to get the 12 of us drunk. Like, what the fuck? I texted her back and I said, we're pros, dude. Relax. Like,
we're pros. If you really want to piss off the Warhawk roadies, take every empty beer that you see and put it on a road case backstage.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, I will fucking kill you.
I love it. I do it all the fucking time. I will kill you. If I'm headlining a festival.
Of course you do.
Fuck you. Check this out.
Of course you do, you piece of shit.
The last little thing that annoyed me, though, was right after we got off the stage, like all day, all the roadies have been smoking cigs out by the fucking the semis. and we all go out there after everybody's smoking, hanging out, fucking victory, whatever. And the roadies came over, were like, there's no smoking on the dock. Go down there. And I was like, dude, Warhawk, I literally just saw you rip the filter off a menthol, dog. Like, get the fuck out of here. You guys have been fucking lighting it up back here. We're just trying to, you know, fucking live. So
local crew for life.
Local crew for life, dog. Shouts out Warhawk. So that's going to be our live music, fucking return to live music episode. Enjoy this little interview on the way out with the one, the only, the greatest band of all time, Foxtrot and the Get Down. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to On the Guest List. We are backstage at the BB&T Pavilion here in Camden, New Jersey. And Foxtrot and the Get Down just played our first show in 18 fucking months.
Jesus Christ.
It's your boy Colin. I'm sitting here with my drummer Jimmy. James, how are we?
Hi, Colin's my lead singer.
I just thought it was important to get like an instant reaction to put on the podcast because we've talked so much about, you know, the lack of live shows over the past 18 months. I mean, we've talked to everybody from Chris Shiflett from the Foo Fighters to just fucking everybody we possibly could, but to finally get back to doing what we were put on the goddamn earth to do. And I told this to Erica, because Erica cried as soon as the set was over.
She did, yeah. She was very emotional.
Erica cried. I cried yesterday driving in my car. I was just thinking about getting on stage. But oddly enough, I didn't have any emotion. Like, I was just, like, ready to run through a fucking wall.
Yeah. I was lucky I didn't blow chunks onto my snare drum.
Dude, because Jimmy said to me, he's like, yeah, dude, my arms, I can feel it in my arms. I was nervous.
We only played, what, 25 minutes? Well, yeah. 23 and a half minutes. But we only played 23 and a half minutes, and, like, I was just so tense with fucking nervous energy because, first of all, it's first time in 18 months. Second of all, it's one of the biggest stages we've ever played.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a little nerve-wracking getting out there, you know what I mean? And then you're trying to just keep yourself in the music, keep yourself, but you're concentrating so hard. I concentrate so hard that I was tense. So I'm like, instead of being like, you know, calm and like cool and breathing and stuff like that, I was just making sure I didn't fuck it up.
Dude, it's funny. The only thing I was worried about was my pedal board going out because my patch cables are wonky. But I mean, dude, it was so it's us, Aaron Jones, who's on stage right now. Then we have Dorothy. We have Wolfgang Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen's son today. We have Jane's Addiction. We have Cheap Trick. We have who else?
Offspring and Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, I said Jane's Addiction.
Oh yeah, Offspring.
Yeah,
that's it. I think.
Yeah, I mean, Mammoth. Yeah, Mammoth is what is Eddie Van Halen's son.
Oh, okay.
What a fucking gnarly set list. First off,
like WVH Wolfgang. Yeah,
I just want to say first off, this was fucking amazing to be back with the family. Like it was we have Dylan, our photographer, sitting right here. He's just a fucking monster.
Hi, Dylan.
We had our guitar tech Keith, and then we had Ken's girlfriend Mary posing as our manager. So yeah. She was backstage.
She was publicist today,
dude. She was all of the above. She was totally encompassing. But I just want to ask you, Jim, because I mean, we've been through so much. All musicians have in the past 18 months, just to like.
Yeah, just not knowing.
The thing that like actually like made me emotional when I was driving yesterday was the thought of like, dude, none of us knew whether or not this was ever going to fucking happen again. Like, I'm not talking about us as a band. I'm talking about everybody in general. I'm talking about like fucking.
Yeah, there was very, very little light at the end of the tunnel.
No.
That was miles and miles and months and years long. Yeah. So, I mean, it's tough to like refocus.
Hold on. Real quick, tell them the story about your drum kit.
So this is the first time I bought this drum kit, and I paid it off already, but I bought this drum kit and this is the first time I've played with it on stage.
You bought it the day before quarantine started. Yeah.
So we played a show in Philly, which was a banging show at the Foundry, and on the beater side of my kick drum, the rim snapped, and I don't know when it happened. All kinds of shit happened to my drum kit because I was the one that was like, yeah, we'll backline it. I don't give a shit. I hit it with wooden sticks anyway. Let everybody that drums drum on it. Yeah, I don't mind doing that, but I'm going to be a little more
cautious.
Yeah, a little cautious next time. So the inner rim snaps, so you can't tune it. It sounds like shit. I couldn't get a rim. It's not a common rim on the drum kit that I had.
Come on, I want to get a reaction from Erica as well. Come on in, Erica.
Erica, get in here. So we're playing, the next night we're playing down in D.C. So I wake up early, I hit Sam Ash, and I go, I need a kit. And they go, well, we got this one, it's $900. I said, can I put it on, you know.
A credit card, please.
Yeah, yeah. So I put it on.
Ding my report, dog.
Yeah, yeah. They dinged me, I got the kit. I got to pay it off, 24 months. No, no interest, blah blah blah, all that stuff. We go down. I needed it for DC. That's what the advance said, that I needed my own kit. We get down to DC. I wind up backlining one of their kits anyway. I never played my drum kit.
You caused COVID.
And then COVID hits.
Literally the day after.
The day after, and we're not allowed to do anything.
Jesus.
So that kit has been practiced on, sure, but this is the first time it got on stage, and my God, did it sound
It sounded
lovely.
Fucking great. Speaking of sounded great, we have the beautiful Miss Erica Ruiz who just walked in. Ooh. Jimmy, throw her your mic real quick.
Yeah, here you go.
There you go. No one hates being on camera more than Erica Ruiz. Erica, how you feeling?
I have to be on camera?
Yeah, sit down, dude.
If you guys see me, I'm going to be in a different outfit.
All right. Erica, you cried after the set. How do you feel about that?
I did. I didn't think I would. I was so, you know me, I always get super, super nervous before a show. But I don't know, man. It just like hit me.
Yeah.
Like, been so long and seeing people and like the energy, and I didn't think I realized how much I missed it.
It was fucking hard. I know. And this is what I've been saying. Like, I was preparing myself to cry. This is exactly what I did at my wedding. I told myself, don't cry, you pussy. Don't cry, you pussy. I didn't, but I cried yesterday. It's just like, dude, we put in so much work during quarantine to make sure that when we came back, we were better than we were before. And yeah. I really feel like we did that. There's already been some real gnarly, sick pictures of Erica that came out. She fucking stole the fucking show. Erica, what was your favorite song today?
I think I'm going to go Letter.
Letter was fucking sick,
yeah,
dude.
I think Letter. I mean, I really love what Shane has added with the keys.
Yeah, sure. Shane's sitting over here, our keyboard player, Erica's boyfriend.
We always think that's like the cool down of the set, and I always like disagree.
Yeah.
I always think that one is more of a banger than we give it credit
for. Fucking
sick.
My favorite song was the one where Will didn't play. So Will Shade is also in the corner over here. Hi, Squilliam.
Which song was that?
I don't know. You played it on all of them, so I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about, but... I don't know. I just thought it was like very important that we got like a direct reaction, because for months now, knowing that we had a light at the end of the tunnel, I was like, I need to like really capture. The weird thing is, though, I thought I would be much more of a mess. I'm actually very like, even before the set, I was just like completely fine. Like, I was just so fucking happy to be out there. But Will was doing push-ups before the set.
You both were.
Oh, I mean, I did too, but that was just because I couldn't have Will doing them and me not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Will.
Yeah, I know. Erica, what's your lasting impression of today?
Honestly, it's just good to be back into this.
Yeah.
Into the mix.
Feels normal again.
Yeah, like I feel like we just had to rip the band-aid off of like performing, and now I'm just like, all right, cool, when's the next one?
Yeah, so big shout out to White Sox Dave for all of his hard work today.
Yeah.
You fucking schmo. It's funny because this is going to be on Tuesday's podcast and he's on it. I'm just going to shit on him. No, December, we will be out in Chicago. We will be handling that. We'll get that footage done. But from everybody here at Foxtrot, I just wanted to say love you guys. Erica, anything else?
That's it. That's all I got. I want to go watch some great fucking live music.
Hell yeah. Shouts out to Aaron Jones. I want to try and pull him in for the podcast today.
So good.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll catch you next week.